The following program is an encore presentation edited for broadcast at this time. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View on the 11th Sunday of Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and this morning we will hear and discuss our Gospel from St. Mark. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Chicken fried steak is a Southern tradition, and the Catholic Daughters of America, Court 2433 at St. Teresa Parish, are keeping that tradition alive with their annual chicken fried steak dinner, Sunday, June 24th. From 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. in the Parish Hall, 1302 Lantana, they'll be serving great chicken fried steak dinners, complete with gravy, mashed potatoes, green beans, bread, dessert, and drink. Proceeds will help fund scholarships for high school seniors. Sponsor the Morning of Reflection in October for men and women, the Women's Conference in the spring, and other works of mercy. To learn more, call Irma Rodriguez, 774-6660. Y'all come.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Good morning, Barbara. I'm fine. Thank you very much. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good.
We're in the throes of June, and everyone's having wonderful vacation time, so we probably have a lot of visitors that may be listening to us this morning.
Hopefully so.
Well, as I mentioned, our gospel today is from St. Mark, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the crowds, "This is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter seed on the land and would sleep and rise night and day, and through it all the seed would sprout and grow. He knows not how. Of its own accord the land yields fruit, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, he wields the sickle at once, for the harvest has come." He said, "To what shall we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable can we use for it? It is like a mustard seed that, when it is sown in the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. But once it is sown, it springs up and becomes the largest of plants, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the sky can dwell in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, as they were unable to understand it. Without parables, he did not speak to them, but to his own disciples he explained everything in private. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I think we're finding in a lot of these Gospels that when talking about the kingdom of God, Jesus used something that the people, that his disciples and the people of Galilee could understand. And in this case, it was about the mustard seed.
Right. It's the kind of an agricultural approach through parables, using things, as you said, that people could certainly understand. And I think, you know, in our own day, I remember, I think I've mentioned this before, but a pastor, when I was a deacon in England, he told me to always notice that people who are close to the land and close to the sea will understand better or easier the parables of the Lord. And I think that's true. I mean, a farmer would certainly understand this whole process that I've spoke to a few of them in the last few weeks, being in parishes out in the farmlands of our diocese. And so, you know, we understand the nature of growing and nature's cooperation with growing. So all of these things are very real. So I think, you know, there's a certain process here that Jesus is pointing to, and that the kingdom of God, which means the, as we talked about, we've talked about several times, about the seed of God, the word of God, the kingdom of God being planted into our hearts. It's not an instant magical show that something's going to happen. Again, I like to refer, because I love doing the confirmations with all the young people. They're quite amazing. But, you know, I keep saying nothing's going to happen tomorrow. I mean, maybe, but you're going to be the same person tomorrow. It's a matter of cooperating with the elements of faith, the elements of the Holy Spirit working, which is, you know, through the sacraments, through the word, planted in your heart, you're listening to it, et cetera, et cetera. So all of these are the kind of the materials that you use, but it's not going to happen overnight. To experience the fruits of the Holy Spirit, joy and peace and generosity and kindness and gentleness, that takes a lifetime really to develop that, to allow the word, I should say. And I want to stress, allow the word to take root in us for that to happen. So when Jesus is talking about the seed being scattered and the farmer sleeping and rising and sleeping and rising and watching a sprout come, and then the blade and the ear and then the grain, all of that, it takes time. Mm-hmm. It takes right. time and cooperation with that. And that's how God works in each of our lives.
It's a journey.
It's a journey. And I want to point out something that one of the young people said to me at confirmation once. I was talking about their saints, and one young girl, I just have her kind of, her words kind of planted in my mind and my heart, but she spoke about her saint, St. Maria Goretti, and how she resisted the assault of the young man next door named Alessandro, that she said she belonged to Jesus and that she would not give in to him, to his attacks. And he told her that if she didn't, that he would kill her. And she said that she would not give in to him, and so he did kill her. And, you know, amazingly, before she died, she forgave him. But the young girl in confirmation was explaining that, or she told me the story. And I just looked at her and I said, would you do the same if that something like that ever happened to you? And she did not hesitate and looked at me and said, Bishop, I would hope so. And, you know, the bishop's there proclaiming the word of God, but in a sense, she proclaimed it back to me. Just hour before confirmation, because it struck me so much, the innocence of those words, I would hope so. Right. And I think that speaks to our gospel today. The seed is planted, the Holy Spirit is given, but it takes time. And to just use the word hope, I would hope so, means that through life we prepare ourselves for these moments. There's no magical drive-through here. It's a life that's lived, a life that's conformed to the Word of God, that's conformed to the beauty of the sacraments, lived faithfully. All of that is that land, the rain, the sun, all of those elements are there. And it's God then that does the work, that brings up the blade, the ear, the grain, until it's ripe. So it's a cooperation with that. What this gospel says to me, the first part, because we have two parts here, with the second with the mustard seed, but this first part really is saying that this whole process of growing into Christ, being holy, takes the power out of our hands. We can't force the process. You can't force the process of being holy. You cooperate with it. But holiness is God's grace, from God's grace, giving all the tools and the elements. But it's the work of the Holy Spirit in us to allow this to happen with time. And, of course, the other elements for us are, you know, loving our neighbor, being of service to others, reaching out to the poor. So all of that is how to say the raw elements of allowing God's power, His grace to work in and through us, to not only bring us to a holiness of life, but also for us to proclaim the gospel by word and example in our own lives, to bring others to the truth of Jesus as well.
When we've talked about this before, the question that comes to mind for me is, how does this happen? And we've mentioned about you need to have quiet reflection for it to happen.
Right. And you know, all of these things, you know, it does take the time to step back and to say what has happened. I think a review of life is essential for us. Otherwise, we just keep living day to day as a routine. And certainly, if we are living with God, if we are living the gospel, it should not be routine. Even coming to Mass, you know, there's so many people complain, well, it's the same old thing. Well, it's not unless you are. You know, every time I say Mass, which is every day, there's something new in my life. There's something that has struck me, and I bring that. The words might be the same, but the experience of life, the difference of my life, enlightens the words of the prayers, which are all biblical anyway. It enlightens the words of those prayers, or if you're reading a psalm or something like that, it enlightens them because I'm different. God never changes. God's word is eternal. But I'm different, or you're different, and the grace begins to work when we take that time quietly to reflect, even using, you know, the same words. So the thing is, in society today, we all want to have the power over our own selves, over the events of our life, where we're going, et cetera, et cetera. We want to have this kind of control. You know, people want to have control over their body. They want to have control over their destiny. They want to have control over their work. They want to have control over everything. And when you read this first part of the gospel with the sowing of the seeds, there's a mysterious power that happens beyond my sight, that God does his work through his grace in allowing the word of God to grow in me beyond what I can do or control myself.
Yes, I hear about the control, because we all want to be in control, and sometimes we need to step back and just ask God to lead us and to go where he leads us.
Just take an airplane flight in the middle of a storm and have it canceled, and you know the
right.
scenario.
Oh, yes.
All of us know that scenario, and you feel in those, you're just out of control. You're not in control. I shouldn't say out of control. You're not in control. And sometimes we go out of control with our emotions because we want it the way we want it. But you know, just in a simple scenario like that, to arrive at the airport every time and say, Lord, I put my life in your hands, and you may get there on time, you may not. Mm-hmm. But as you're talking about the reflective part, if I don't get there on time, how did I handle what happened? Mm-hmm. When I finally land somewhere and have a little time of reflection, what happened? Who did I meet? What were my reactions to things? And, you know, mm-hmm. there's some beautiful things that can happen if we allow the seed to grow through God's grace.
Exactly. Wonderful. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
It's about 30 minutes from downtown Corpus Christi, 10 miles from Orange Grove, 14 miles from Mathis off FM 624, and it's now taking reservations. The much-anticipated Spirit Center at Blunzer on FM 3088 at FM 666 is now in full operation as a youth retreat center, a Catholic retreat facility which embraces people of other faiths. The Spirit Center, complete in every concept, is set in an environment of natural beauty and peace for the spiritual, educational, and social development of adults and youth. For more information and to make a reservation for your youth group, call Sister Michelle Marie Kuncher at 361-816-6567.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, the second part of this gospel is it's to what shall we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable can we use for it? And then that's when he starts to talk about the mustard seed.
Yeah, you know, whenever I see this, I always think of the teaching of St. Teresa of Lisieux, the little flower. Mm-hmm. She, you know, she was a young girl, wanted to enter the convent early, was not allowed, and then I don't think you could do this today with all the crowds, but in her day, with her father, was in Rome, and somehow got an audience, you know, got stepped in front of the Pope and asked permission to go to Carmel, to the Carmelite cloister early. And she had her sisters in there as well, but there's, you know, the story. But anyway, she wanted to do great things, be a missionary. She wanted to go around the world. She wanted to do everything. But she realized that this was her vocation. And anyway, she wrote her whole doctrine, which now she's a doctor of the church. But her whole doctrine is on the little way. And I think of her when I think of the mustard seed, because it is a small seed. And there's so often that our society really promotes great things. If the bigger, the better. The more is better. And we forget the little things, the little realities. And our life is really a compilation of little things. When we try to embrace life and to embrace the future and always as it has to be big, it has to make a splash, it has to do all this kind of stuff, I think we miss the true meaning of life. It's in the little things that God speaks in the little things. Mm-hmm. Through little children. The young girl that I mentioned earlier, you know, you can skip over those kind of moments when someone says something, "I would hope so," mm-hmm. in reference to wanting to be a saint. You know, "I would hope so." That's a small thing, and I'm not even sure that she remembers saying it, but it hit right. me very, very strongly. So it's a little reality, but, you know, our life it has to reflect the smallness of things as well. When we have to have, you know, the loudest, the best, the biggest, the most famous, and we get caught up in that too often in a flashy society like ours, and we miss the wisdom of a grandmother, the cry of a baby, you know, those things. We need to appreciate all of that, because all of that's God's work. So I think, you know, the point I would make here with this part of the parable on the mustard seed growing into the largest of the bushes where birds can come and nest, etc. And this is a parable that the Lord speaks. But if we allow ourselves to really focus life more on those little things, and not just focus, but to let them happen in our life, that we'll begin to see God's plan revealed and unfold in our life. And what does it take? It takes an openness, or the classical reality for us with the Holy Spirit is docility to the Holy Spirit. The more docile we are, that doesn't mean passive, it doesn't mean unengaged in life, but it means a docility to see. Because if I'm filled with myself, if I'm filled with noise, filled with the glitz and glamour of things, I'm going to miss the small things in life. And so the docility that is necessary in our life in order for the Holy Spirit to be recognized in the works in us and the works around us is so, so important.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good point that you bring up, Bishop, about thinking about the little things, because it's very easy to just pass them by.
Right. Well, I was at a workshop once, and you know, I was looking at big issues in the church. It was kind of a beginning initiative, a new initiative to really look at all the profound divisions, the polarization that's in the church, within the church, but in society as well. And you know, we try to study those things and to resolve them, to bring out new theories of how to get rid of that stuff. But we were broken into smaller groups as well. And there was a couple of bishops and some theologians, philosophers, mainly from Catholic universities, and it was a great experience to be there. But at lunch one day at our table, I was just struck again, you know, like the young girl that said, "I would hope so, Bishop," you know. But he said something, because there was a lot of high-powered and very, very good talks on what's needed and how to approach this issue. But this young, well, he was, you know, probably in his 40s, but taught philosophy at one of the major Catholic universities of the country. But he just simply said, you know, in the 2 days we've been here, I haven't heard the word humility. It's like, right, you know, that's that docility that I'm talking about. And I thought that was so profound from someone, you know, who teaches philosophy and very intelligent and looking at this huge issue with polarization in the church and the rancor that's going back and forth, even among Catholics against each other and left and right and conservative. And he just used the word humility. He said, I haven't heard much about humility. And that's where it starts. I think it takes us back to the mustard seed. The more that we are the mustard seed, the more that we use our talents, and I don't mean we put them aside, but the more that we use our talents embedded in humility, the closer we'll get to the kingdom of God. Because trying to create it ourselves, trying to push our agendas, even having these kinds of agendas, pointing fingers at others, competing with others, proselytizing, that's, to me, that's beyond, wasn't even in the mind, in the heart of Jesus. But to have the humility to use the talents that God gives us, not for our own glory, but for the glory of Christ and his church, to use all of that to bring a message of peace, a message of harmony, of unity, of love, that's what we need in the midst of all of this. Certainly we have to face the issues. And, you know, we're not called to go out and scream at one another or scream at the, quote, enemy. We're called to be docile, to be humble, and to speak the truth. To me, that's where God's grace can really work. And all of this takes time. It's when we resist this approach that we lose hope, that we lose energy, that we become angry, etc. And then we're really not good for much when we come to that point. The Christian is never an angry person, never a person with a scowled look on their face, but one of joy. And that working together with others in the world that are concerned about different issues, the more we pull together as the mustard seed with humility, looking at the problems honestly, searching for God's will and how we can move forward. This is the approach, I think, that the kingdom of God presents to us and what we really need to take heed with in the present environment that we live in.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting that you talk about the humility, and you still need to deal with the problems, but there's a different way to deal with the problems.
Right, it's the approach.
They're two different ways. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's an approach.
Exactly. It's the way that we do it, because one will be permanent and will have a true effect, because the person that is humble in approach has the credibility to speak in the name of the kingdom of God. The one that's angry is kind of pushed aside and not listened to.
You mentioned that you wanted to talk a little bit about the...
this issue of religious liberty. It is not just the right guaranteed to me by our Constitution, but it's written in my heart that I can worship God not only in the cathedral or in a chapel in private prayer, but I can demonstrate my faith, my belief, even in the service to people. And I think it's certainly becoming true that it's a creeping giant when people are finding new ways to limit the liberty of religious expression. We find such things in through immigration laws. There's, and this is not just statewide, it's countrywide, and it's worldwide. But the discrimination against small churches and churches not being able to use public facilities in anticipation of getting a new church, there's all these kinds of migration refugee services that are not allowed. Christian students on campuses being restricted. I mean, the list is going on, and it's getting bigger. The list is getting bigger and bigger. But, of course, the great concern for us is right now the persecution and the slaughter, the murders, the martyrdoms of Christians in several parts of the world by radical groups in the name of religion. And we always have to be careful that we don't condemn a whole group of people because of the actions of a few.
Very true.
But we also need to say that we need to stop this. We need to join together as Christians, Muslims, Jews, and really join together and speak out against these things, because one day it's us, one day it'll be another. But everyone is called to live in peace, and that is a right that we have. So this time is really a time to focus on the problems that are there, to pray, to fast, to educate ourselves, to see where the problems are, and to see what we can do as the kingdom of God advances, to allow the kingdom of God to advance and not the kingdom of man and hatred to advance.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bishop. If you could close our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Well, Lord our God, your will is that we be made whole in the kingdom of your Son. Through the intercession and example of the Blessed Virgin Mary, grant us the wisdom and the love to do what you have commanded for the good of the world through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.